Welcome to Globe Chong. Globe Chong is a Uniqlo podcast in collaboration with Next Step Connections and Michael Waits Media. Uniqlo is Thailand's first student-run organization to provide university application and other insights through events and its online platform to high school students in Southeast Asia. This Globe Chong podcast features stories of accomplished and inspiring Southeast Asian high school graduates in colleges and universities across the globe. On this episode, I am joined by, and here I go, Jaja Ratanajan, a 2017 graduate of ISB in Bangkok and a current sophomore at the University of British Columbia. Jaja, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How did I do?
You did perfectly fine. That was amazing.
That was my first shot at it. So you're a sophomore, right?
Yes, at UBC right now in Vancouver.
That's really cool. So had you ever lived overseas before you went to college?
No, never. I was born and raised in Thailand my whole entire life.
Wow. And did you go to ISB from beginning to end?
No, I actually attended a small international school called Kiraput or KPIS until sixth grade. That's when I moved to UBC and I graduated there.
That's when you moved to ISB, yeah? And you graduated from there. Did you do the IB program as well?
Yes, I did full IB as well.
Oh, wow. How hard was that?
To be honest with you, I think because of my interest in media, I did a lot of courses regarding film and English. So for me, it wasn't as hard as people made it out to be. And I actually enjoyed it a lot. But it still required a lot of time, definitely.
Right.
But it wasn't as bad as people complained it to be, I would say.
So was your interest in media something that you had developed when you were in high school, or is that something that's even become more developed now that you're at university?
My interest in media actually developed since a very young age because I grew up in the industry. My mom was a news reporter and I actually hosted television shows with my sisters growing up. So for me, media was something that I knew I wanted to go into, but I didn't know exactly what until university, when now I think I want to do digital marketing for companies that embrace size diversity and food sustainability. So that's an interest that I developed in college.
I want to get back to that, the sustainability. It's something actually that's really important to me. I want to get back to that in a second, but tell me a little bit more about what it's like to be on television as, I guess, an early to mid teenager.
Well, I did that in elementary school, actually. And for me at that time, I didn't know how important it was. For me, it felt more of a job and I just wanted to go out and play. I didn't want to be in the studio for the whole day memorizing scripts. So it was more of a chore for me at that time. But now, looking back, it was definitely a privilege that I have overlooked at that time.
But did it make you nervous? In other words, was it live television in the sense that there was a studio audience, or was it studio television in the sense that there were just a crew there and they were kind of telling you what to do and you were going through a script? And was that script for a show like a drama or a comedy, or was it news and sort of presentation?
It was a studio audience, so it was just only the crews. And it was for a children's educational TV program for my family's production company.
Oh, wow. So was it a show just for you and your sisters? In other words, was it just you guys, or were there other people on the show as well and you kind of mixed in with the rest of the people on the show?
It was just us, actually. And sometimes we would have like guest speakers, but mostly it would just be me and my sisters.
And how long did you do that?
I did that for a year or two. I was very young at that time, so the memory is pretty hazy for me, but I would say around a year or two.
And what were you trying? Were you teaching people English? Or you said it was educational, right?
Yeah, it was actually in Thai at that time, and it was more about teaching people about environment or health, I would say, mental health in kids, yeah.
So how did you end up at the University of British Columbia? And I'll tell you why I asked, for a bunch of reasons. It's cold in Canada. I know Vancouver is not the coldest place in Canada. You could be in Toronto or in Montreal, which is going to be freezing. And Vancouver is West Coast, if I'm correct, right? So that makes it more like Seattle, but still, it's cold, no?
Yeah, definitely. And I chose Vancouver specifically over any other schools in Canada because it's the warmest here, even though now But I say it, I still regret it. It's very cold. I'm still not used to it. But yeah.
Is it snowing there yet?
No, not yet. I'm not sure if it's gonna snow in December this year.
I
I'm
guess.
hoping not because I cannot handle any more cold.
Yeah, like, have you ever had like a down jacket before in your life?
No, never.
Wow.
Not to live in a country. I mean, I've been to like a visit countries for a break, but never living there for a while.
Got it. Okay. Before we get into the sustainability and stuff like that, I want to go back to high school a little bit too. Were you like a sporty kid? In other words, did you play sports when you were in high school?
Yes, I was known as the sporty kid in high school. I played tennis and softball since freshman year until graduation. So much of my identity, I would say, was formed by my teammates. And I was a very shy kid growing up, but sports definitely formed a lot of my identity and leadership skills.
Really, do you think it gave you more confidence as well? When I was a kid, I was super sporty, and it was just like it was a huge manifestation of my personality. I was very competitive too. Do you consider yourself a competitive person?
Yes, I did grow up being very competitive, only in sports though. But I think that with that, confidence developed when people view me as the athlete. I think it also added some pressure to me. And in a way, by the end of the senior year, I was very much drained out because there's always that competition going around. And I just got so tired of having to try to be the best all the time. And by the end, I kind of just let go of sports a little bit more.
Really? So now do you do it for recreation at all, or are you just so sick and tired of playing tennis that you just kind of gave it up?
I got very tired first year of college. I didn't do any sports at all because I just needed that break, which was a good decision for me.
Got it.
And coming to college now, tennis is actually not a big thing here. So I did some dodgeball for recreation with my friends,
That's
but other
cool.
than that, not much into sports.
Got it.
Yeah.
So one of the things about going to ISB, right, is that it's a little transient, right? In other words, there are students like you that go there, what do you say, from sixth grade all the way until you graduate. You finish the full IB program, and there's probably a core group of kids that were there the whole time you were there, right? But other kids were cycling in and out. Did you think that helped you sort of be adaptable to making new friends? And how did that manifest itself now that you're in college, where it's just constantly kids coming in and coming out and people transferring, and every year there's just a whole new group of people that are pretty close to your age.
Yeah, definitely helped me adapt a lot more into meeting new people. And I would say ISB in general and international students, we are always offered this opportunity to branch out into different type of activities, and we're always encouraged to meet new people, whether they're here to stay or to leave. So
Right.
coming to UBC, it makes it a lot easier for me to adapt to create smaller communities within this large campus because I'm always out there trying to network and expand my community.
That's cool. And now let's talk about this sustainability and maybe some of the writing, if you're doing any writing these days, right? What is it about this sustainability that interested you, and what was the genesis of it? In other words, did you get interested in this in college, or was this something you held over from high school and middle school?
It actually started last year in college. Before this, I was never interested in sustainability and I was never informed much about it by myself. But coming to college, a lot of my group of friends, and in Vancouver, sustainability is a very big thing here. So my friends would always want to watch documentaries on food waste and animal cruelty. And that was something very new to me. And to be honest, I was kind of very shocked in the beginning when that's the type of activities that people want to do here for like a casual Friday night. But then I was so intrigued by this very new topic, and now I'm always looking for ways to be informed, whether that's going to the gym on a treadmill and going on Netflix to search up sustainability videos. So it's a very new interest of mine right now, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, sustainability is something very important to me. I do an entire series on social innovation where people talk about sustainability, but I want to know what it means to you now that you're kind of, you're kind of at the beginning of it, right? So you're learning about it. You talked about food waste. We'll talk about animal cruelty later, but what is your view and what does it mean to you when you talk about sustainability in the context of food?
I'm saying to make more conscious efforts to eat more plant-based food or locally sourced food that's not very harmful for your body and not very harmful for the environment. And it's very easy, actually. There's a lot of substitutes nowadays. And I'm not vegan or vegetarian, but I do make more conscious efforts to care for the environment, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Food is one of those things that you're almost like a price taker when you're a kid, right? In other words, you just eat what's around you, you eat what you're given. Your parents give you choices, of course, particularly if you go to a restaurant, but you don't think about where it comes from, right? You don't think about the origins of food, the local sourcing, which is something that's becoming really important, right? And now that you think about it, it changes the way you look at food, doesn't it?
Definitely. And it's such an easy thing for you to gain control over your life as well, because when you think of environment, it seems like such a huge topic, but you can change these little daily habits of yours every day to make the world a better place. And in Thailand, it's definitely never really talked about, because with my family as well, we're very pro-protein and meat. My dad would always say, if there's no protein on your plate, that's not a meal.
Right, then you're not eating.
Yeah, you're not eating enough, but that is not true. You can get all these nutrients from plant-based food as well.
Yeah, so have you tried things like a plant-based burger? I don't even know what else to call it. I haven't tried it yet, but I see it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all over Vancouver, to be honest. Vancouver's a very popular place for veganism and plant-based food. So there's restaurants all over here, and it tastes really good. You should try it.
Yeah, I'd love to. I have nothing against it. And like you, I'm not a vegan either. But I do think now about what I eat and how I eat it. So for instance, this morning I had pineapple, apple, homemade granola, and a little bit of yogurt. That was my breakfast. And that's kind of what I do every day. And I think about it because I just try to think about local sourcing too. Where does that fruit come from, right? That's why the granola is homemade. The yogurt I can't make myself yet, but I do think about it when I'm eating. And I think it's great that you're doing the same thing as well, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm always spending time in the kitchen or doing research on recipes that are more sustainable for the environment. And it's very therapeutic, actually, just being able to spend time for yourself and knowing where your food is coming from and how processed or unprocessed it is.
So you said something interesting earlier, right? You said, I was surprised, or maybe you used the word shocked, that on a casual Friday night, people would be either watching videos or talking about sustainability as an overall topic. Why was that so surprising to you initially?
Because in Thailand, we never talked about it. I mean, on a casual Friday night, we'd go out or we'd never have this conversation about meat and plant-based because it's not very accessible there, I would say.
Do you ever think about it as like a market gap that you may be able to fill if you're interested in business?
I would say it's applicable to Vancouver more. In Thailand, it's not a big thing yet. But in Vancouver, that is the place to do it if I want to do food sustainability and marketing in business.
So let's talk a little bit about what you did over the summer last summer, right? So you worked for Bangkok Coconuts. So you went back to media. Are you going to continue to keep doing this media stuff? You talked a little bit before about marketing, right? That's kind of the focus that you want to have?
Yes, digital marketing. And I do want to do something about writing or media. I also did internships for Vogue Thailand actually during the summer. So everything I do is around media.
That's really cool. What was it like working at Coconuts?
Coconuts, I loved it. I learned a lot about writing and working with Southeast Asian companies to write, to do copywriting and working with brands to target different audience. But I also learned that I'm not meant for a 9-to-5 job in the office.
tell me why.
I need to always be on the move. I need to be able to relax more and have more of my own space. And being in that area in that fixed box of space, for me, my creativity just didn't flow as well as it could have.
Yeah, let me tell you, I did it for 20 years. It's a soul-destroying experience. If you're lucky, you'll never have to work at a job where you have to be someplace every day and do the same thing. So just make sure you don't get caught in that rut. Do you think that your view of work and of media is, what's the right word, is impacted or influenced by the fact that you were around television or media production your whole life? Like, do you understand how impactful that has been now that you're old enough to remember?
I learned more about how powerful media is in college, for sure, rather than as a young kid just growing up. Because last year when I took journalism, I learned how media can impact social movements nowadays and to use as a platform to empower people. Because growing up, I sometimes see media as a weapon against people that makes people feel insecure or hate one another. But now I can also see it as a platform to empower people.
Right. This is a very powerful message that you've learned, right? In the sense that you, as you're growing up, and I saw the same thing, media always seemed to be this thing that was used to divide people. And you can see it today in political media every single day, particularly in the United States. In my mind, it's terrible. But I do believe there's space, and I'm curious what you learned in journalism class for media, for positive influence, right? In other words, the world's not a completely positive place, but we can highlight things that are positive that are going on as opposed to highlighting things that are divisive, right? What do you think about that?
I think that's spot on what you just said, because for me, especially when I feel insecure about myself, especially in terms of size diversity, which is something that I'm super interested in, I would go on Instagram and follow people who I felt as though might not have the best effect on my mental health. And I would turn to people who are empowering people to appreciate and embrace their own unique bodies. And seeing these women come out about their insecurities just very much empower me and make me feel as though I can relate to them, and that there are people out there who understand and are going through exactly the same thing as me.
Right. I want to understand this more, though, right? So you said you're on Instagram and you're looking at photos of people or of things that people are posting, and it has a negative impact on your sort of mental state. What is it about this stuff that you're seeing that does that? You said size diversity. That was a term you just used, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means how nowadays people often equate health and beauty to how skinny a person is. And I think along the way with social media, the term health just gets skewed because people just equate health with being skinny. But that's not always true, because if a person is starving themselves every day or super skinny, that doesn't necessarily mean they're being healthy.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I found this when I was growing up as well. And I always wondered, right? Like, it was always okay, but it was always okay to make fun of me for being skinny. And I was little. I was very skinny when I was a little boy. People would make fun of me for it all the time. And I just thought, why is that okay? Because I never felt like it was okay to make fun of somebody because they were heavier. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Neither one of those things are good. But you're right. Mm-hmm. Like size diversity, you can call it whatever you want. You can say body shaming. But I think there is a big problem in media. I actually think it's worse for women than it is for men. You can tell me what your opinion is. But this whole concept, like you said, of just your appearance somehow defines your health or your worth. Yeah? What do you think about that?
That is very much correct. Especially in Thailand, I would say. I'm not sure if you know. Yeah, very much in Thailand, it's a norm for adults, the first thing when they see you, they would say hi, and then they would address you by either how much you've gained weight or how much you've lost weight.
Yeah, why is that okay? So people do this all the time. They see someone, they go, oh, you've put on a few pounds. Like, this is not polite at any level, right? But why is that okay?
It's just become so normalized, and I still don't know when it started for people, but it's always been like that. And growing up, I always have this conversation with my friends, but girls and boys as well, we always feel so insecure with going to social events because people would always make a comment on us. And that's just a very negative influence on how younger generations are now viewing themselves, because now we're just equating our self-worth to comments people make about our appearances.
Right, which is terrible, I think. And what's the proper response? Like, I have a few ideas on my own, but what do you think the proper response is? Because, you know, when you're a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old, you don't have a lot of leverage, right? If an adult says something to you, it's not okay societally to say, like, you know, that's really rude, or to have some kind of snappy response. But You're what, 20 years old now? 19, 20 years old? You're an adult.
19.
You're 19. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Do you feel like there's a response? In other words, if it's okay for someone to say, hey, you're looking a little bit thin, like, are you dying? Which is not nice. Is there a mm-hmm. proper response that can put somebody in their place that's not rude, right? But that just kind of points out the fact that that's not okay to say?
To be honest, I still struggle with coming up with a response every single day. And I think because in Thailand, there's also that form of respect you have to have for elders. So
I understand.
You can't really speak back. And to every day, I still want to find a way to respond to them.
Do you talk to your female friends about that?
All the time. And they're part of my inspirations for going to size diversity as well, because everybody is feeling the same, no matter how perfect they may look to you or appear, they're all going through the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer. I think there's a deep insecurity that people have. And I think a lot of it is driven not just by sort of societal norms, but the way media portrays those norms. Which makes me loop back to the conversation that you and I were having earlier, right? This whole idea about media and writing and online marketing and digital marketing. If you do that, particularly with your background in production and media production and just knowing how all that stuff works and studying journalism, what do you think, when I say we, I mean not just you and I, but what do you think we can do, right, to sort of counter the impact that media has going forward on just how people feel about themselves, right? And I don't want to get so hippy-dippy about it, right? Because I think at some level you have to be in control of your own psyche. But I don't think you have to be able to put up with this constant barrage of you're not good enough. So how do we fix that in the media?
There's definitely a lot more companies now. For example, Aerie, which they use models that reflect
humans, like regular people.
Yeah, that reflects regular people, and they don't edit their photos. They don't Photoshop it so that they can portray real and authenticity. And I think that's very empowering for people to see and to be able to relate to the models.
Tell me again, what's the name of that company?
Aerie.
How do you spell it?
A-E-R-I-E.
Got it. Okay, so I'll look that up. Or maybe you can just send me a link to something that shows me what that is. And I can put it in the show notes for this too, because that type of stuff is really interesting to me. You have to understand that one of the reasons why I do what I do is for exactly what we were talking about 10 minutes ago. And that is to have a positive impact, to be a countervailing force against media that's just negative and divisive. I want to have conversations with people like you that point out how powerful media can be for positive as opposed to negative things. And I didn't even know this about you before we started, but that to me is really, really interesting. Anyway, so can you, let's get a little bit off the philosophical track. How do you feel now that you've been at school for 2 years, right, in Canada? Do you feel like you've grown? Do you know what I mean? Do you feel like you've grown up a lot since you've been there? Do you feel like a different person than you were in high school?
Definitely. And especially coming from Thailand, you know how parents often really treat their children well and take care of them. And now coming to university, you have to take care of yourself. You have to expand your own network and do all these house chores by yourself. So I definitely grew a lot from that.
So do you do your own laundry and cook your own food now?
Yes.
That's got to be a big shock to the system.
Yeah. Definitely in Thailand, that's just non-existent. But now you have to do everything for yourself. But it also teaches you to be very independent, and you get a real sense of adulthood.
So do you get a sense of how different it was for you now that you're outside the country, the fact that you got to go to an international school? I mean, ISB along with NIST and Patana and Bangkok Prep and all these very elite schools, right? My daughter goes to NIST, so I know what I'm talking about. But can you see like how powerful and impactful it was now that you're at school? Do you think it's easier because you went through the rigors of an IB program as well?
I think IB helped me a lot in terms of school. I knew how to write and do all the citations. So those international schools program helped me tremendously. And I would definitely recommend everybody going through the program to acknowledge how beneficial it is. And it made my college experience a lot easier as well. And other than academically, I think with these international schools, we do know how to adapt easier to college settings, I would say, because there's always so many diverse range of people here.
Here's the other thing too. Like when I was in high school, people used to ask me, what do you want to do when you grow up? Right. And, you know, frankly, back then there weren't as many choices. You're a doctor, you're a lawyer. You just kind of go went and worked in an office somewhere. But I always thought it was weird that they kind of asked us when we were 17 years old. In other words, how are we supposed to know? Do you feel like your view on what you wanted to do has changed since you got to university? In other words, that the world has kind of opened up and you've seen other opportunities?
There is a lot more opportunities in college for you to branch out. For example, again, sustainability, I never thought about that. And it's very sad, actually, since in high school, I cannot emphasize enough how many times my friends would come in crying because they didn't want to become a doctor like people expected them to be. And that's just very sad because they're so young and this is their life. You should not let other people dictate what you do with your life.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting thing for, you know, a 19 or a 20-year-old to learn is that you've got another 60 or 70 years ahead of you. And while adults, your parents and their friends have views on what you should and shouldn't be doing, in the end, you have to be self-determinant, I think. And I think university is a great place not just to learn, right, about academic subjects, but also to learn about yourself. You know, self-discovery is something that I find really important. And I'm wondering if you're going through that process now as well.
Yes, not in terms of changing faculties like a lot of people here are, but for me, it's part of just going through all these different new clubs and activities that allows me to delve into new interests like sustainability, like teaching nutrition, which is something I've never done before, or having conversations about women empowerment. I think these are something that's new in terms of exploring my identity.
Good for you. Look, I also think it's really important to go into college almost with a blank slate. In other words, you're going to go with some preconceived notions, but if you go in with an open mind, again, from an academic standpoint, you're well prepared, right? But from a sort of psychological and worldview standpoint, you should kind of be a blank slate. Like, what's out there? I don't know, right? And I think it's great to be able to experience that at university where you have all these kids from different backgrounds. They're different inputs into your brain, yeah?
Yes, for sure. I think that's the fun of it, to be honest, to be able to explore all these things in university. It shouldn't be a linear thing where you know exactly what you want and then you just go for it, because then you're missing out on all these opportunities to branch out and meet new people and explore perhaps the passions you've never known you would have had.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Do you have brothers and sisters as well?
Yes, I have two older sisters.
Two older sisters? Okay. And how much older are they than you?
They're 22 and 21.
So have they both graduated from university already?
Yeah. And they both attended ISB and then they went to Chula, actually, which is a university in Thailand.
Yes, they went to Chulalongkorn University. That's really interesting. So you, of the three sisters, not only are you the youngest, but you're the only one who's like crossed the border, got on a plane and went to university. So here's the thing. Again, as a kid, you don't have a choice as to where you go to school, right? So your parents sent all of you to ISB. That's great. But in the end, you decided, I want to go to a university outside the country. What was that like inside the house?
Actually, my parents did want their children to go to universities abroad. But I think for my sisters, this is very courageous of them as well.
Yeah.
Just knew that they wanted to be in Thailand because they felt comfortable there and they loved Thailand. And I think that took even more courage than coming to Canada or going to the States for me, because it's a norm for people to go abroad. And when my sisters chose to stay in Thailand, I think a lot of people actually looked down upon them because they thought that the right way was to go to the States and to pursue a higher education.
I think it's really insightful for you, actually, and I think it's really mature. You've just made a really incredible point, and I actually got a chill when you were saying it. I won't say it's more courageous, but I will say it's quite courageous for them to say, and how silly does this sound, though, right? I'm going to go to the best university in Thailand, mm-hmm. right? Or one of the top five, whatever you want to say, right? I mean, because there are a lot of really great universities here. But I think that that's really interesting that they were looked down upon for going to Chula, which is just a great place.
Yeah. I think especially with going to ISB, people expect you to go to very high,
Oh, I get it.
high educational
Yeah,
schools.
they want you to leave the country so that they can say, and particularly the schools want you to leave the country as well too, right? All of our graduates end up at UBC or they end up in the United States or something like that. It's great marketing for the schools as well. Like, I completely understand it. Were your parents educated abroad as well?
My mom did her postgrad in New York, actually, but they both went to high school in the States for a year for AFS, which is an
AFS.
exchange program.
Yeah, American Field Service. So the AFS, we had a, when I was a kid, we had an exchange student through the AFS program from Sweden. That was cool. Where did they go to high school?
My mom went to Pittsburgh and my dad went to Washington State.
That's just so awesome. That's just so awesome.
That's how they went.
That's how they met?
Yeah, through like the program gatherings.
Okay, that's just a completely different podcast for another time. That's awesome. Look, I've taken up a ton of your time. This was a really great conversation. I've learned a lot and I had a super time. I hope you did too. I just wanted to say thank you.
You so much for having me.